everyone, and welcome to Handing the Shame Back, a show dedicated to adult survivors of child sexual abuse in New Zealand, the States, and across the entire world. It's really important we have these discussions because there's so many survivors out there and there's so much that needs to be done. Well, are you guys lucky today? Have I got a treat for you? Before I introduce the RIOSA team to you, I just want to issue a trigger warning. Although we won't be going into any specifics about child sexual abuse, I still just need to make sure that people feel safe. And if you don't, please go to the show notes below and there'll be some ideas for help and resource there. So in the meantime, I'd love you to meet Libby and Kate. And Libby and Kate are Team RIOSA and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, great. So I want to do a real, really do a real deep dive into this. But, you know, as a fellow Kiwi, I am just so humbled and I have been right from the start. Your dedication, your commitment, your absolute motivation to walk our entire country. You are the first people to have done this for this cause of supporting and advocating for adult survivors of child sexual abuse. And I'm just so honoured to know you both. Thank you.
Thank you. That's lovely, Gloria. Thank you. It's an honour to meet you as well. And just see that all you do for adult survivors of sexual abuse as well. I think we all do something very different and what you're doing is very powerful and much needed. Yeah.
Thank you, Libby. And look, I don't mind it all about being about me.com, but for today, it's about RIOSA. So Libby, you began this. Tell us the story. What led to RIOSA and this big walk throughout New Zealand?
Thanks, Gloria. It started in 2020, a conversation with a friend. We were actually going for a walk together, and I think I just read another story in the Herald about a sexual abuse, and I just said to her, I'm actually sick of this. I'm sick of what's happening in New Zealand. I said our statistics are terrible. 1 in 3 girls and, 1 in 6 boys. Those are the official statistics. And I said, the ripple effects from this abuse is awful and I want to do something about it. And I just jokingly said to her, I might walk the length of New Zealand from Cape Reinga to Bluff to raise awareness about the statistics and the ripple effects of sexual abuse. And she said to me, well, if you do that, I'll project manage it. And I went, oh, okay, yep, that sounds good. and then it was my 60th birthday last year. And I wanted to do something really, really special for my 60th. I just didn't want to, have a party. I wanted to make it meaningful for some reason. And so I thought long and hard about what to do. And then it just sort of came that this is what I was to do for my 60th birthday. Was to walk the length of New Zealand to raise awareness about the ripple effects of sexual abuse and the statistics in our country. And so that's how it came about. Yeah.
Wow. So how did you come up with the name?
That was sitting on my deck with a couple of friends, and one of the ladies was on the RIOSA team, and she really pushed me and she said, why are you doing this? What is the reason? And I said, because sexual abuse doesn't only impact the survivor, it has a huge impact on all their relationships, their families, their friends, their work colleagues, their communities. And I said, it's huge. The ripples are massive. I didn't actually say the ripples. She said, actually, it sounds like the ripple effects of sexual abuse. And I said, yes. And then her husband sat down and wrote wrote RIOSA, and so that's how we came up with the name Ripple Effects of Sexual Abuse. So it was all very organic, you know, nothing was organized, it just sort of happened, which was just wonderful. Yeah.
Amazing and so powerful. And then of course we've got a lovely Kate sitting here, and, yeah. And Kate, yeah. Tell us about your part in this and what you came to.
Thanks, Gloria. Hi, I'm Kate, and I'm a very proud survivor of childhood sexual abuse. I came on board basically after watching the birth of my two grandchildren, and that became my very powerful why. And I didn't want, I wanted to be part of something that was going to create change in New Zealand and help stop other children going through the absolute horrors of childhood sexual abuse and the aftermath of it. So I came on board with RIOSA right from the beginning, very much from an education awareness point of view on, how to create change.
Well, and as we're looking at this, I guess, you know, you were raising awareness. What did you notice throughout this this big walk of yours? Even from day one, what did you notice was happening out there with people as they joined you on your you had your supporter walks?
I think especially with our first supporter walk was in Cooper's Beach. Actually, we had one person there, and that was lovely because we were able to practice our talk on her, and that was great just talking to her. But Kerikeri, we had a number of people, and I think one of the things that we noticed was that there was so many amazing people out there working in the sexual abuse, working with sexual abuse survivors and with their families. But they're all quite isolated. And in the Kerikeri walk, it was amazing watching all these different people start connecting and start talking and start sharing what they're doing. And it was just wonderful. And actually, they all went and had coffee together afterwards, which was fantastic. And I think that's something, isn't it, Kate, that we've noticed throughout the country. And that's something that Kate's very good at, is connecting people. That's part of what she's really good at. So I'll let you talk about that a little bit more, Kate.
Well, I suppose, we did notice that there were many organisations throughout New Zealand working very hard. I think a lot of them are very stretched. I think we noticed a lot of them they've never given up hope, but I think they have just worked so hard, and they seem to take one step forward, maybe two steps back. And I think when they came, and it wasn't about Libby and I, but it was about something about what RIOSA offered. And I think to take it a step back, our purpose statement is, you know, we are an initiative to create hope and dispel loneliness, and plus encourage understanding by raising awareness about the ripple effects of sexual abuse. And I think we were almost like a breath of fresh air for a lot of organisations to come in from this angle. A lot of them work with the abuse, the trauma, and, you know, as soon as it sort of happened, but we're coming in from a different angle. And I think it is very much about maybe getting all of these resources. We're all unique. We're all completely different. So what's going to work for me is not going to maybe work for the next person. So it is something that Lib and I are really keen to maybe do is bring all these resources together in some way so people can see how other people are healing and helping survivors. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing that, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, wow, that wasn't even a key objective yet. Look at how that just emerged.
Absolutely. And yeah, and it was even people in the same communities didn't know each other and didn't know what each other was doing. And it just, you know, to make change, we all have to stand together. This is not about, you know, one or I or me. This is about us and all of us as one. To create change, we all have to stand together, and that is very much what people want to do.
Well, I think, you know, and it's interesting, I think we did have a discussion, Kate, about this, and Libby, I think you were present, I'm not quite sure, but I know we looked at, I wondered about, isn't it interesting, as survivors of child sexual abuse, we do feel quite isolated and we don't share stories.
Yeah.
So I guess a little unsurprising that if you fast track to adults who have been able to turn it around and maybe start to give back, we isolate and we do our own mahi around this. So I guess that I found that quite fascinating, really. But it's an interesting one, isn't it? And I guess when you consider it, that was something that just emerged organically, and look at the power of you guys being able to elicit that and people finding each other. What challenges would you say you noticed on these walks with the survivors that were sharing their story with you?
I think for me, a lot of survivors had not been believed. Or if they had disclosed, they had brought shame on their families. And there's a lot of families out there, and they were told to keep quiet because they didn't want the families destroyed. So it was that was incredibly difficult. I think the main thing that I noticed was the ripple effects, and the ripple effects were those, that was the things that, you know, the stories that people were sharing. But I think that the big one, and I think another big challenge is the hoops that people have had to jump through. And I don't know a lot about our justice system and how that all works, but I did hear a lot of stories, and you know, I can understand the reluctance of wanting to go forward and take someone to court. But they were huge for a lot of people.
I think you also, one of the things we noticed is, like, you know, unfortunately, there were some themes that came through a lot of our walks, and one of them was in schools where girls were being groomed by teachers and sports coaches. And when this was brought to the attention of the schools and the school boards, unfortunately, just about in every single case, wasn't it, Kate, that the perpetrator was it's almost the perpetrator was supported, whereas the girls weren't believed and weren't supported. And you know, we heard some pretty tragic stories.
Well, I think were believed. The girls were believed, but in some cases, the boards came back and said, "Well, you know, it's really hard to get good teachers."
Yeah,
and you know, and they're a really good teacher.
Or they were sent away, or the teachers were sent away and went to another school with nothing happening. So, you know, there were stories like that. And I think the big thing is, and one of the things that, you know, we were walking for as well, was to break the silence of sexual abuse that permeates New Zealand. And, you know, you talked about that before, Gloria. You know, we're all silenced. You know, when we're abused, we're silenced. but for however, we're silenced, and there's still that silence that permeates New Zealand. I mean, I think there's still there's some great things that are coming out in the newspapers now, and you know, on TV, and you know, people are starting to talk, and we're wanting people to start talking. And so I think, it was breaking that silence. And I was going to say something else, and you know how it just goes out of your head. I was going to say something else, then it's just completely gone. So hopefully it'll come back soon. Yeah.
It'll come back. But I guess one of the things I wanted to say, though, was there is this middle group, guys, and I'd love to know what you think of this. We have our perpetrators or abusers, and we have our survivors, but there's this whole big group in the middle who I call the gatekeepers and the enablers, because they see and they do nothing.
Yeah.
So here's the justification, Kate, when you mentioned, oh, but it's really hard to get good teachers.
Yeah.
There's a hall pass, keep abusing children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think we've got a real issue, and I'm just speaking on behalf of it's a personal opinion about what's happening in New Zealand, but I think a lot of people don't believe the statistics. A lot of people mm-hmm. believe it's a lower socioeconomic issue or a cultural issue. For me, it is totally across the board. You know, we heard stories from all walks of life. And so I need to just reiterate that it is across the board. It is all walks of life. It is happening. In New Zealand, I think we also have a really big issue with media in New Zealand. And I think, you know, media is really powerful. It's one of the most powerful tools to get stories out there. Lots of local papers and lots of local radio stations. We had so many interviews, and all the little local papers have just been fantastic, and the radio stations and things. When it came to the big media, they didn't want a bar of us. And, you know, we had our PR person was our older sister, and she has won many awards for her marketing. And so she did our PR right across New Zealand. We had PR people working in all these little individual places. And I would say collectively, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails and phone calls have been made on the behalf of RIOSA and raising awareness. And so little acknowledgement of so many emails. We had great supporter walks and things, and don't get me wrong, there was some amazing, amazing mahi done. But from the big wigs, didn't we, Lib? We had a real wall, and I think it would not have been difficult to get us on morning TV or 7 Sharp or something like that. This is happening in New Zealand, and this needs to be at the forefront of everyone's minds. We need to have conversations about it. So I'm in quite a passionate mood, as you can tell this morning. But I really believe we do have quite an issue there, and I don't know what.
Well,
I don't know what their why is.
Yeah, well, I've got a little bit of a theory, and I think, just breathe through this, guys, but it doesn't suit the narrative. It doesn't suit the narrative for New Zealand to be leading the world in these child sexual abuse statistics. Yeah. It doesn't suit the narrative. Where are our influencers and leaders? They are high up in government, media, legal profession, as you said earlier, Kate, across the board. But Libby, when you think about it, if it doesn't suit the narrative, it's not going to be addressed.
No, and that's exactly it. It's not going to be addressed. You know, one of the questions we got asked a lot, does sexual abuse really happen in this country? Does it really happen? And that was actually, I suppose, as a survivor, that was quite a shock to hear that. And I'm thinking, yes, it does. And it was men and women asking this question. And it was unfortunately, it was mainly an older demographic that was asking this question. But I think there is still that, it's almost still that blindness. And, you know, you talked about the media and the government and everything. I think it's like people are wearing blinkers because they don't want to know. They don't want to know what such a huge problem this is in our country, and it has having such a huge impact. I mean, I know what I've been through. Kate, you know what you've been through and the impact it's had on us. Gloria, you know what you've been through and the impact it's had on you. And imagine, statistically, if there are females are walking around like that, you know, a sixth of our males, and I know both those statistics are higher, they're walking around, they're being sexually abused, they've got the ripple effects of sexual abuse. And we've got people out there who've got blinkers on and not wanting to know that there's a serious problem in our country. Yeah.
And I think there, you know, we were told that people were stretched and people were tired, that, you know, we've had 2 years of COVID and people just want to have a little bit of good news and things like that. And we've had this discussion before, Gloria, and you made a great comment. The children still have to get up and go to school the next morning. And that is so true. People, you know, sexual abuse is still happening. And it actually worsened during COVID. You know, lockdowns were horrific for so many children.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing, yeah. Kate, and thank you, it's a good comment you make. The interesting thing is, this was happening well before COVID.
Absolutely.
I know, yes.
A long time.
And, you know, you hear this, and, you know, the reality is we hear, no, it's the children, put the children first. Sorry, but I'm not seeing that happen. And no. I think our media need to be trauma-informed, and we heard that. That was a comment that was made. So I've reached out and said, I'm happy to train you. I'm happy to train you in how to be trauma-informed, because I do it every day, as you know, on the show.
So one thing Kate and I did with just about every single interview we had, didn't we, Kate? We asked the interviewer if they were okay. We, you know, during the interview, we'd stop and say, we just want to make sure you're okay, because what we're talking about is something quite big. And we wanted to make sure that they were okay. And it was really interesting, because they would then come back and, you know, for many of them, that had been their story as well. And so it's showing that care. But I just want to make another point. You know, that comment you made, Kate, about we just want good news. Actually, RIOSA was good news. We actually are good news. Because we weren't a walk of anger, we weren't a walk of blaming perpetrators, we were a walk of raising hope and creating hope for people. And that's what we did. We created a whole lot of hope for a lot of people. And I just wanna make a comment here. I just wanna just shout out to all those incredibly brave and courageous people who came on our supporter walks, because I tell you what, there were some very, very brave people who took their first step on one of the supporter walks. And I just so incredibly proud and grateful that they did that for themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is one thing that we did find, that our support walks, we didn't have any idea how they would work out, but we made them 5 kilometres. You know, we changed it after 2 postponements. We then changed it, and we had 30 of these walks, and they became quite a sacred space. And I think because everyone that was there was a safe person. You know, they either worked in the industry, they were a survivor, they were supporting someone, or it was all safe. And it was just quite an incredible thing to watch people mix and mingle, and everyone sort of got each other.
Yeah.
You know, we had people arrived and they could hardly get to the support walk. You know, they would be standing 10 metres away, tears pouring down their face, being supported by a family member. And, you know, by the end of the walk, these people were interacting with other people. So I think the hope, you know, there's always hope. And I think that's that was the sad thing for me. I don't need to go on TV. It's the last thing I need to do. But we are two sisters in our 60s. There's actually four sisters. But at the start of our walk, you know, there was three sisters there and our 87-year-old mother in a wheelchair that were creating hope for other survivors and showing people that you can heal, you can have a life and things. And, you know, we were walking for them. I think it's just a real shame that it wasn't out there a little bit more. But well, thank you, Gloria, for getting these stories out because, you know, we just need to keep doing that.
You're never going to stop me.
I know.
You know, every step we took, we also biked as well, Gloria, because, you know, as I said to people, our logistics was a living document because we had to change it every day because every day changed. And and so, you know, every step we walked and every kilometre we biked, we did that for survivors and their families and for New Zealand. Yeah.
Oh, you make me a bit emotional listening to you, actually. It's just...
And that, I tell you, that was a real honour and a real privilege to do that. And Kate and I would wake up every day and would look at the walk logistics and we'd think, right, we've got a 30K walk today, we've got a 60K bike ride, we've got a 80K bike ride. I think our longest day was a 100K bike ride after a 5K supporter walk. And never once did we go, oh, this is too hard. Even when it was pouring with rain, we would get up, we would get dressed, we would put our clothes on and we would get out there because we were doing that. We were doing that for people. We were doing that for other people. We were saying that you matter. You matter. Us doing this, you matter. And we are doing this for you. And I was really proud of both of us because never once did we, Kate, never once did we complain or anything. We just did it day in, day out for 7 weeks. Yeah.
It's so, so beautiful what you did. And you did even more than that because, of course, you had Sam, who you helped support. He's finishing up his walk shortly, but we talked about you guys on that interview as well and looked at the help that you'd given and how amazing you guys are. So look, thank you so much. It's just beautiful what you're doing and what you've done. And I've got you. The ripple out effects of this, from what you've done, will live on, and they do, because as we're moving through now, I guess I'm just wanting to ask you. We kind of looked at the challenges for others. I guess when you think about it, were there any kind of key challenges for you guys, apart from the rain and the wind and the and the exhaustion, any kind of challenges for you? Any others?
I think the challenges are for so many things. For me, it was being away from my family. They are my huge support system. Fitting in training, that was quite huge around work and things, but all totally doable. Another challenge was learning how to use social media. Along the way, there were triggers, you know. A lot of healing has been done, but there's still triggers. I think those are the main challenges. Probably for me was a lot of the stories. I certainly protected myself in my own way, but I found the stories harrowing and the challenge for me was that they never stopped. And I don't know how many stories we have heard, but over 7 weeks, I would say into the hundreds, and so many stories, all different. But yeah, it was a challenge. That was a challenge, but it was also an incredible breakthrough to see when people came on our support walks. And and we said, as we stand together and get rid of the secrecy and silencing and shame, we take back our power and take it away from the abusers. And then at the end of support walks, to see the light come on, there's been darkness. And so there were challenges, but those moments totally outweighed any challenge that there was on the road.
Amazing. I guess and the power of that, and I guess the adrenaline that would have been surging because you were holding such a big space really for people. And walking and cycling and trying to manage your social media and PR and everything. It was a huge, massive undertaking, and you just made it look quite easy, actually. Thought you guys rocked it. So Libby, as we're moving ahead, I'm just thinking about what would you like to see happen? When you think about this enormous body of us here. And this is across the world as well, guys. This is not just Aotearoa. It's silence everywhere. What would you like to see happen?
I think one of the biggest things that I noticed, and I think Kate, you touched on it, well, we've all touched on it very briefly, is the whole judicial system. Something changed. And because the stories we heard, and I don't know a lot about the judicial system, but the stories we heard, it almost felt like the survivors of sexual abuse were almost made to feel like the perpetrators in many ways, and the perpetrators were sort of became the victims. And it felt so wrong. And I mean, I know it's like yeah, it just it for me, I'd like to see a change in that. I'd love to see all these organizations are organizations at the bottom of the cliff. It'd be really good to have see some things put in place. And I think that's, what Jess Tyson is doing with Brave and going into schools and talking into schools. Things put in place now so that people become more aware that this is happening. And I think that's where Reo's two books come in, which are, just two powerful tools. And seeing things start at the top, not at the bottom of the cliff where everybody's been working from. And I think there needs to be a huge take. There needs to be acknowledgement first, I think. We have a problem in our country, a lot of acknowledgement. And that needs to come from government, that actually we've got a problem in this country, that we need to deal with it. Because at the moment, like we've already said, everybody's working as much as they can, but they're all isolated and they're working on their own. So people need to be brought together so we can work in this collectively as a country.
I think what you're really saying, I think, Libby, is we need to be resources need to be proactive rather than reactive.
Actively.
Because
Beautifully put.
we can't discount lives are being lost, and our prisons and our rehabs and our hospitals are full of this unresolved trauma. Now,
Absolutely.
why is it so unresolved, team? Because it's not given permission to be aired. And that's what you did with Rioza, you aired it. So, again, just really powerful. And the stuff just needs to keep happening.
I
As you
think,
touched, sorry, Kate.
oh, I was just going to quickly say a lot of people overseas won't know of this law, but here in New Zealand, we call it the Sue Bradford
Bradford.
Bradford. smacking law, and it was brought in many years ago. But everyone talked about it, whether you agreed with the law or not. A lot of people did, a lot of people didn't. But even all the children talked about it. And we're talking from little children right up to sort of teenagers. And you know, they would say, oh, you can't smack me, you can't smack me. But the whole country was talking about it, yes, which was fantastic. So we need a law, something like that, around sexual abuse. We need big billboards up saying, let's break the silence and shame of sexual abuse, or let's hand the shame back. I love that, hand the shame back. And we need huge funding. And, you know, to make a change, it's got to come from education.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Mm. But there's no point educating. You've got to have systems in place. So if you're educating, and like Lib said, our books are incredible, but if there's disclosure, you then need to have the backup for the disclosure. You need to have the trauma counsellors right there on the ground running, so they can come in and start whatever process needs to be started. And that then stops those ripple effects, doesn't it? You know, there's still going to be ripples, but if someone can get help early, it can maybe stop them
I agree.
Going further. Yeah.
I love what you're saying, and I think too, you know, billboard jingles. You know, I heard one the other day about, it was a McDonald's one, about when you get into the car, you know, you click in, or the warehouse where everyone gets a bag. Like, things, we need to have so much resource put into information, yes, prevention. Yep. It's not okay. I mean, look at the domestic violence or the traffic accidents. And the billboards and the media and the advertising.
Absolutely.
And that's what we need. So moving on to the books, can we, because people are, thanks for raising this, Kate, but people overseas won't know. Do either of you have a copy of your books, please?
Yeah.
Look at these and discuss these. So we've got two books here.
We've got them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oops, upside down.
Yeah. So let's look at Only For Me. How did that, what's the story with Only For Me, and who's it for? Who's it targeting?
Only For Me is basically a children's book, and it is for everyone. It's a beautiful rhyming book. It's got gorgeous illustrations, and it's a way that we can empower our little people to take good care of their bodies, know their bodies, and call all of their body parts by their correct name, which is really good for a lot of people to say vagina and penis. That's quite difficult. So it's really good if the children are using the correct terminology, and it really helps parents that find that difficult. It's a way for them to sort of start conversations. But it's not a book based solely on sexual abuse. It's about keeping your body safe and also keeping yourself safe. We can all feel uncomfortable in different situations. It could be that, you know, Granny has a really bad breath, so when she gives you a hug, it makes you feel sick. So it's then being able to tell someone, I don't like hugging Granny, and they sort of say why, and it's starting these conversations, and it's making it normal so children can say, you know, I don't like it when Uncle Johnny comes over and stays, or I don't like it when you have parties and you're all outside and I'm alone, or you know, it's teaching them that their body part, their body is theirs, and it's their safe space, and people don't need to be taking photos of them, or, you know, it's just all your basic things, and taking it a step further. You know, sexual abuse isn't just penetration or rape. It's pornography. It's words. It's all of those other things. So it's just a really beautiful book for
Aww.
Children and parents. Yeah.
It's so exciting, and it's just got to be put out into schools and libraries and a must read, I think, for people who are parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts,
the sports button. Coaches. I think it's for absolutely everyone, and I think it's also, you know, a mother had three teenage sons, and she said, you know, they're about to start babysitting, and I said, well, this is a great book for them to read, because unbeknown to me, but that is an issue with some babysitters and things. It's not that they you know, not everyone's a pedophile, but sometimes opportunities arise and they are taken, unfortunately. But this book is a great one to help I think keep everyone safe.
Everyone safe. I like that, actually. That's a really, it's a nice little approach, I think, Kate, because, you know, quite innocently, someone could say or do something without realising the impact they're having. So it helps keep them safe as well. So,
and this book, this book can be translated as well. The author, Michelle Derrick, is fantastic. So, you know, if you are around the world and you think that you would like to see this book translated, get in touch with her and see what you can do. We are looking at getting it translated here in New Zealand. We're just working through a few steps at the moment, and I'm really hoping that will happen. But it's very age appropriate, and it's gentle. It doesn't say sexual abuse anywhere in the book.
Okay, I love that. Can you please give me the link for her so that I can put it in the show notes when people are watching, so that if they want to reach out and order and do all of that. Tell us, Libby, your other book.
So our other book is it's called Keeping Our Tamariki Safe. And this was the information in this book came from Help Auckland. So Kate actually contacted them, and it was, which has been brilliant. This is a, I think this is an incredibly, incredibly powerful and valuable book, because it has information. It's quite a challenging read, but it has information in it, Gloria, that actually pinpoints areas that could be potential where sexual abuse can happen, and like we've already mentioned, babysitters. But you know, when you have a party at home, you know, often children are left on their own. You know, it could be, you know, what is it? 95% of sexual abuse happens from someone we know.
Yeah, over 90.
It's over 90% of someone we know, and so this book helps. It helps families, parents, caregivers, grandparents, anyone who's looking after children, become really, really aware of potential places where sexual abuse can happen. And it's like once we become aware, once people become aware and they sort of have that knowledge, and they might start seeing something that they think, oh, that doesn't look right, or that doesn't sound right, I need to look into that. And so I think this is an incredibly, incredibly powerful book. Yeah.
That's amazing. Just for our overseas people watching, Libby, Tamariki translates to children. So it's keeping our children
safe. Yeah.
And also on our website, which is www.riosa.co.nz, we actually have a copy of this book. You know, if they would, you know, especially those people from overseas, if they'd like to download, and you know, if people want to buy a set of the books, if they just contact us on hello@riosa.co.nz and just send us an email, and we can follow that up with them as well.
So you've got books in stock. If people want to just come straight to you, they can order straight through Rioza.
It's a process at the moment that we're just working out what we're going to do moving forward with the books. As with anything, it's a funding issue, yep. And you know, only for basically it's a funding issue, and you know, we need about $30,000 for the next print run, because these print runs get done in huge amounts to make it more cost effective. So it is quite an expensive thing, but we are looking at grants, and we're looking at different ways that we can do it, because both books need to be read by everyone. And I think our book is incredibly powerful for those people that don't really have an understanding of sexual abuse, where it can happen, how it can happen, what actually is sexual abuse, and what to do if you think it's happening. There's just so much helpful information in it, but it really is ground roots, raising awareness about sexual abuse in our country.
Phenomenal. And Google Pub Charities, they have to give money back.
Yes, I know.
Because there'll be some in each of your geographical area. You can
At the moment we can't do too much. It's leading up to Christmas, and you know, it's just a busy time. So it is 2023, but we will keep working away at it.
So on the supporters walks, Gloria, we gave over 500 books away, because that was part of each book to those people who came on the supporter walks. And it was really interesting how many people would say, look, I'll give this to you know, my work, or I'll put it on the table at work or something, and would say to them, look, read it as well. It's really important. It was amazing how many people actually didn't think that they needed to read it themselves. And so we encourage each person, look, read it for yourself before you hand it on to someone else, because it would give you some knowledge you need. And I think that's what we talked about before. Knowledge is really, really powerful. If people have knowledge, then they can do something about what's happening in our country. Yeah.
Well, I think knowledge is powerful, but also trust. And I think this book here, I read it. I've got two grandchildren. James is 3, August is nearly 2. This book sits alongside all their other books. And in our home, and in our in their home as well. But the thing about it is, even down to I had a scenario where I was tickling James, and he knew that he could say, "No, no, no, stop, Granny," and I would stop.
Yes.
And so he knows that I will listen. Yeah. So he is learning that I am a trusting, you know, I'm an adult, that if he's got any concerns, he can come to me. He knows he can trust me, and I will listen to him. Because, you know, with tickling, and the reason I use that as a little analogy, a lot of people don't stop tickling.
No.
They continue to tickle, and they don't listen to the child. They keep tickling, and they think it's funny. And things, and the, you know, often a child can be saying, "No, no, no, stop, stop, stop," but it's all fun and funny. But actually, it's really nice if you do stop and listen. So it's really teaching children, "No, no, no," in any situation.
100%. It's a really good example. Thank you. Hey, look, just as we're going into close, I'm just wondering, is there anything you would like to share that maybe you haven't? So, Libby, I know one of the things that might have been on our list was statistics. Is there anything more you wanted to say about that?
Yes. You know, we have got the worst sexual abuse statistics in the world, and they're probably a lot higher than probably what is out there at the moment, which is 1 in 3 females and 1 in 6 males. And we've also got the highest suicide rates in the world. And one of the, many of the stories that we heard as well is, family members were coming to walk on behalf of their child or sister or friend who had been a survivor who had committed suicide because they'd been sexually abused. And so I think both of those statistics are tragic. And I can just, even as I'm talking about it now, I can just feel it on my chest. They are tragic, tragic statistics for our beautiful country.
And I would like to reiterate that our statistics are horrific, and we all have a huge responsibility to work towards creating change to basically this, we've just got such a this prevalent issue of sexual abuse, and we really need to create change, and it's going to take all of us. We all need to be part of it.
100%. Yeah. Okay, Libby.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I just realized that this is what's happening in our country. So not okay.
I just want to read this to you guys because I saw it on Twitter the other day. People ask, how can a person abuse a child? I ask, how can so many good people not do anything about it? So I guess as we're just finishing up, any last words of wisdom, Kate, from you?
I'll share what I always share. It is my hope that if anyone ever shares their story with you, that or if they have the courage to share their story, that you have the courage to listen, even if you don't understand.
It's beautiful. Thank you. I love that.
Thank you.
Libby, anything?
I think never, ever give up. Never give up hope. Even on those days when those days and those some days can get very, very dark, never give up and keep pushing through, because you can get through and you will get through. And I think another thing is for people to know they're not alone. They're not alone. Unfortunately, they are not alone. There are other people out there who have been abused, and there are people out there who will want to support and help you. And it's just reach out and ask for support and help. Yeah.
Thank you. Hey, stay where you are, please, guys. So to our fabulous audience watching, wow, what a powerful interview, and how blessed are we to have these fabulous women lead the way in our country and show us how walking one day might have helped several survivors find their voices. Isn't that beautiful? So we never want to underestimate the power of one. So with very deep gratitude to both Kate and Libby. The other thing I want to say is that never once, remember they did this for 7 weeks, never once did they not want to get up and continue. So I'm very blessed. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To you guys watching, as always, I see you, I stand with you, and I believe you.
Yeah.
Until next time, fabulous ones.